You for today. Just quicken us, Lord, to be able to hear and receive your word. Just help us, Lord, to appropriate it and make it, Lord, work in our lives. We just give you all the honor and the glory to you, Lord, for we know that it's your power, it's your anointing, it's your presence, Lord, it's you ministering to us that enables us to overcome. In you, Lord, we are more than conquerors. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been looking at one important concept last week that we can derive from the visit of Peter and John to the Samaritans, and by which they received the Holy Spirit. And the idea that I really think that comes across there is the fact that we cannot buy the Holy Spirit in any way. Not by money or by works. What we have to understand is that is God gives and we have to receive it by faith. Okay? Now we're going to go a bit more. Okay. We're going to take the other example there that's in the house of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. Verse 30 starts this way. So Cornelius said, "For days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my home, and behold, a man stood before me bright in clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard. Your alms have remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose name is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner, by the sea. And when he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore, we are present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God.'" So this is a Roman soldier, not a Jew. It's not a believer, the way you would call a believer. I mean, from the point of view of the Jews, he was unclean. He was not worthy to get into his house. And God met him because of a prayer and because of his seeking the truth. So we can see just one thing that is important to understand, that this is repeated after, you know, that God doesn't look at your background. Doesn't look where you're coming from, doesn't even look sometime on the things that you know. It looks at the position of your heart. And being seeking, wanting to know the truth more than anything else. Doesn't look if you have some wrong ideas, because who has not wrong ideas here? We all do. So it's not, nobody's perfect and nobody knows everything. But our heart and the position of our heart before God makes a difference. The fact that he sought God, he sought after God and wanted to meet with him and wanted to know the truth, just was enough, you know, went to fast and he did the way he knew he could do. So he was praying and fasting and spending time with him was enough for God to move supernaturally. You know, many Christians don't even get this kind of communication from God. This guy was not somebody that was going to church, evidently, he was, or the synagogue, or anything else. He was just seeking God. And God spoke to him in a very clear way, giving him words that are just more than a feeling or more than just an idea. He was telling specifically to things to do so that he would get to know the truth. I mean, if he did it to him, can we expect him to do it with us? The thing is, often we don't expect him to do it. So anyway, he got this message. He got evidently got a vision out of his praying and so on and so, and got the direction that he needed in his life. If we really seek after God, we can get direction. We can get all the information we need to resolve our problems, to achieve what you want to achieve when it's done in the direction of God. So following from there, verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth when he was talking to Peter. This is what he was explaining to Peter. And said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. You see, he had problem when God spoke to him to actually, the power of prayer, the ability of our prayer to move God and to achieve supernatural results. I mean, we should, we know the Bible. He didn't know the Bible, this Cornelius, did he? He was simply believing God to show him something. He was seeking after God. Okay. And that was enough for God to move supernaturally, not just coming to him and telling him to go to get this Simon, this Peter there, but to actually go and talk to Peter and give to Peter a vision so that he would be ready and willing to go. Because of Peter's religious ideas, he thought that he couldn't go into the house of somebody that was not a Jew. And God had to use a vision to tell him, if you remember, he showed him all these unclean animals and said, go and eat. And that was something that was, sinful for somebody like Peter. That was all his training that he got on in his life. And there you got the vision and says, do something that you have learned that is wrong. That took some courage for him to actually do it. But you see, there was not just, sometimes we may get information that from the other side. Peter didn't question that was coming from the other side, did he? Why do you think that Peter could do that? It's because not only the information was given to him, but according, these people come to him in a way that was completely supernatural. You see, God was confirming to him already what he had shown them. And so Peter went with these two servants that went to pick him up and bring him there. And now he's there with Cornelius, talking to him, hearing from him the story from the other side. And now he go and talks to him and says, I can see that God is not a show partiality. I mean, he's not making a difference if you're a Jew or Gentile or, whatever you are, or even your background. But in every nation, whoever fears him or respects him, and works righteousness is accepted by him. The words which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, that he is Lord of all. That word, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism of John, which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. You see, evidently Cornelius had already heard about Jesus because everybody was, it was the thing that was going on. So he evidently wanted to know more. He wanted to connect to that reality, connect to that truth, connect to the, but he didn't know how to do it. And so he was praying, was trying to get in the direction, was trying to set himself up so that he would be able to connect with them, with Jesus. Okay. And in his prayer, that is just, Peter explaining to him And this is possibly just some of the words that Peter used. It's not just, he probably had a whole sermon there. He was explaining things, but this was the summary of what he said. That God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. See, that was the message. This is the message that we can have to connect with today as well. Jesus is the same, and he's going to do the same thing today. And so it goes on and says, and we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, who they killed by hanging on a tree, him who God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not all to the people, but to witness chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. So he's talking about Jesus working the ministry, what he did, and his resurrection. And he commanded to preach to the people and to testify that he is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets witnessed that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive the remission of sins. This is goes on again and explain. Essentially, it gives the whole content of the gospel. Okay, healing, forgiveness, and the resurrection of Jesus, the power of the resurrection that proves that what Jesus teaching was true. And this is what the result of this preaching was. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. So it doesn't say that it just fell on Cornelius. See, this was a house, evidently. He had a house with lots of servants and lots of other people there. That was a household, maybe his wife and whatever. And everybody that was there, the Holy Spirit fell on them. That's interesting to know and to notice, because it has some implication for us. And those of the circumcision who believe were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit they poured on the Gentiles also. You see, they had the idea that we are the Jews and we are going to be the only one getting this thing. And they were astonished, they were surprised that their theology wasn't holding water. See, what they believe, what they've been trained to believe, wasn't making any sense whatsoever. See, when God moves sometimes, that's what happens. You see, there is a theology that will accept it by everybody, and everybody, think that is right, and then the Holy Spirit moves and proves, and just contradicts everything we believe, or some of the things we believe. So that it shakes us up and makes us question things. See, this is the way the Holy Spirit works. The word said that he brings in, he show us things to come. If there are things to come, that means they are not come already, that we don't know them already. So he has to show things to us to open ourselves up to those things that should come. And here, evidently, one of the things he's doing to this circumcised people, these Jews, was to tell them, your theology about you being the only one is wrong. Because these people got it just as well as you did. Okay? The interesting thing is that Cornelius wasn't even born again. He got the whole package in one delivery. All right? So, that doesn't say here that they spend time, hours, trying to convince them or trying to get them to say the sinner's prayer or trying to do any of the other things. They just simply believe that in Jesus, believed in what Jesus has done, believe what Peter has said, and that was simply enough. They weren't questioning theology here. They were just open to a truth, and the truth was enough to set them free and to give them an experience that they needed. You see, that's the power of God. You know, just because of the prayer of Cornelius, all this series of events took place. One man can change the history for many if they take the time to pray and seek God. And they make it in believing, in a believing spirit. You know, you can pray and you can pray yourself in a hole and don't get anywhere. You have to pray in faith. And this is what Cornelius did. And the result of that is that Peter's theology got changed. Hello? That was an easy thing to do. All the other ones that were there with him, all the other circumcised Jews that were there, you know, had to face reality, had to face the fact that these people weren't even Jews, weren't even, you know, and didn't even know Jesus, you know, just wanted to know him, you know, was enough for them to receive and to receive the promise that the Father had given for centuries to the Jews. These people just came there. It was like the people that work in the field, you know, at the last hour, and they didn't do anything, and they got it. They got the same pace of the others. You see, the way God works sometimes ticks off from people that they have been working so hard for a long time without being able to get it. Are you following me? You see, he doesn't look at your history. He looks at where you are right now. Now, and those of the circumcision, let me read this again, who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit being poured upon the Gentiles also. So, and why do they came to that conclusion? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnifying God. You see, that was the clenching, you know, that was the truth that was demonstrated finally, that broke through all the resistance of the belief system that these people had, the training, the indoctrination, the things, you know, in one side and the other one, you know, the ignorance that they had, you know, to see the power of God manifested. For just the prayer of one man that really sought after God. And was a soldier. You know, a soldier, wouldn't expect to be. You know, sometime, you remember Jesus talking about the soldier with the servant. You know, they understand authority. And so they understood the authority that even Peter had. And I think this is a parallel in this case of the two situations, you know. Anyway, so. And Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water from these who should not be baptized, who have received the Holy Spirit as we have?" Just as we have. You have. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and they asked him to stay for a few days. So you see, he was breaking all the laws. He was staying with these Gentiles in the house and everything else. And, you know, but things happened as a result of prayer. Sometimes we just think prayers is, you know, prayer, the prayer of faith makes a difference, can break through anything. And we have to realize where we are in our prayers. Realize when, you know, we need to open up to God to quicken our hearts so that we believe what we should believe. You hear what I'm saying? So that we believe what we should believe. Because often, you know, we go agree with these things with our mind, but actually our heart, you know, has lots of questions and lots of doubts and lots of reason or justification for other things because of our experience. You know, I teach faith all the time, but, you know, the last week the Lord was convicting me for my lack of faith. I mean, I've been teaching faith for 30 years, you know, and even then, the Lord was really on my, the Holy Spirit was on my case, saying, you know, you better straighten up. You better start believing more. Because you are not believing enough. And, you know, when you really feel it inside your belly, you know, something is happening to you. You know, and that shows that God wants to push you at a new step, a new level. But you have to be open for him to push you there. Because, you know, if you go just by your theology, you know, you stay there. Because your theology is nothing else than the logical construction of all the things that you thought before. And when God wants to bring you a different level, has to shake up some of your theology. You know, some people believe the same thing for many years. I can't do that. You know, I change all the time. I'm not changing. I'm throwing away some stuff. I keep the stuff, but there is new stuff that is added. See, new, the word becomes real to you, something that you saw 10,000 times, or you said 10,001, and there is new revelation, and there is new faith, and there is new power coming to you. It reflects everywhere, in everything you do. It reflects emotionally, it reflects physically, it reflects financially, reflects in any area because the truth sets you free. So we can, just from this, that happened here in things, you know, we can see some things, you know, the power of prayer, how important it is for us to pray. For us to spend time in really committed prayer. In prayer that is faith-based, not theologically based. In prayer that comes from our hearts rather than from our head. You know, that makes a difference. You know, it said, if you seek with all your heart, you'll find me. And this is what we had to learn to recognize what's happening, you know. Sometimes we had to push the boundaries that we have put on him, you know, and to get somewhere else, to get where he wants us to be. So anyway, one of the things I wanted to stress here on this, and I already mentioned a few things, is another thing, is that the whole household of Cornelius was filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Do you realize the implications of that? I mean, do you think that all of them were praying so much as Cornelius? Do you think that everybody was of the same heart that Cornelius had? I mean, can you see your household? And are all at the same place? But what happened there that everybody got it? And that shows another thing that I think is so important for us to understand. I mean, the anointing is contagious. I mean, even people that weren't praying, that didn't even probably look after to know Jesus, just because of the anointing, the presence of God in that place, were swept in. And they got the same experience than Cornelius had. Hello. I mean, that is exciting. That shows that what the power of God can do to change people's life. It is not for the effort that they made. Evidently, the effort of Cornelius produced some results. But it wasn't just the physical effort, it was the heart position that he had. Are you following me? So this is something that we had to realize. You know, first of all, we have a responsibility as believers to really, if an unbeliever, somebody who wasn't even born again, could make such an impact on so many people, you know, including the one that should have known better. Okay, to bring revelation. Can be somebody, a believer, that really prayed this with the same intensity, with the same faith that Cornelius had, you know, can you imagine what can do? Can you imagine when two or more believers, they just get together, pray together, and get the results they're going to get if they mean business with God? That should work on us. It should convict us of just getting off what we are doing and to just start praying God at a different level. So, you know, talking about the being filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, many are not filled with the Holy Spirit here in this place. I think, you know, if you're not, you should start praying. With the same, see, evidently, you know, for the things we have been reading, when in more than one place, you know, when people even came to the Lord, one of the things that they asked right away, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Evidently it was important. Jesus was said it was important. Are we taking it to be important? Are we giving the same weight or the importance that Jesus was giving to this process? And if not, then we better go to the Word of God and try to deal with that truth that we evidently had to receive and understand. And one of the things you start doing for something like that is to pray that you receive the understanding about it, instead of going by your experiences or instead of going what people say. Because evidently, Jesus was pretty clear. Don't do anything. Sit there until you get it. Well, now, you know, we got it already, so we don't need to sit there. But it's a question for us to get to the place where we can receive it the same way as Cornelius did. So, you know, what do you do about the same thing that Cornelius did? Hello? That's a simple enough. Okay? That's one step. This, you know, I want to say, these people weren't even prayed for. Hello? I mean, Peter and John there were there, didn't even pray for them. They just got it as he was speaking. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm going to believe that we're going to get something like that. You don't need to just even be prayed for. I wasn't prayed for to receive the Holy Spirit. I just got it. I sat down on the Chesterfield, I still remember. And I said, well, you know, I'm born again. I want it. I think it's something that God wants me to have. Thank you, Lord. I start speaking. I told you last time that what happened at the same time. The interesting thing, let me just add something, because last time I said, you know, while I was doing that, my wife was taking a bath, you know, and she got filled with the Holy Spirit. She was taking the bath and started singing in tongues in a way that I never heard before, singing and never heard after. See, God moved on her while I was exercising my faith to receive in another room. I never thought about this before, but just came to me. You see, it's similar to what's happening here. Okay? It's similar. You see, they all got it, even if they didn't. I mean, she was wanting the Holy Spirit too. It's not that she was so she was open. But the point is, you know, and her experience was better than mine. All right? And I wasn't jealous about it. I just that she had a more glorious experience that I had. Okay. So, my suggestion is you start praying before we finish this series. You know, because at the end I'm going to do what's normally done, but if you haven't got it, you know, it's up to you. And I'm going, you know, it's completely up. God is not going to give you anything that you don't want. It's up to you. So there is the other story also that gives another aspect of this. See, each story has added something to the whole picture so that we can actually have a better understanding. See, it's not just a story. This is observing what the Holy Spirit does in a situation like that. So if we go to Acts chapter 19, when Paul visits Ephesus, verse 1, says there, and it happened while Apollos was in Corinth, then Paul, having passed through the upper region, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples. You see, these people were disciples. That means they were believers. They were following Jesus Christ. Okay? He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" You see, it's interesting that Paul goes there. The first things he asked this new this believer that he meets there is, "Well, good, nice meeting you. Did you receive the Holy Spirit?" Oh, they're fixated, these people. You know, but the point is, this is what Jesus has said. Okay? And so they said to him, "We have no such so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." See, they were followers, but they didn't have much indoctrination. They didn't have much understanding. Okay, they just were followers. And he said to them, "Into what they were baptized." So he said to them, "Into John's baptism," you know, the baptism of repentance. Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying that people, that they should believe in him who will come after him, that is on Jesus, on Christ Jesus." And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. And when Paul, you see, the baptism on Jesus is more than repentance. And if you are going through the material that I have on baptism, you know, the five baptisms that are in Christianity, you know, the baptism in water, when you come out, you appropriate the identity of Jesus Christ, his resurrection. So there is something new, something beyond repentance. I mean, repentance is not something that you forget, and it's something that you did at the beginning. You know, we had to repent every day for the mistakes and the silly things we make, no matter what people say. Okay, but we had to also appropriate Jesus' resurrection and identify with his victory. That would give us victory as well. So they were baptized in water, evidently. And in the Lord Jesus Christ. So actually they understood fully what Jesus had done on the cross. And when Paul laid hands on them, The Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now, the men were about 12 in all. So that's again, the whole bunch of them got filled with the Holy Spirit. And that resulted as a result of laying on of hands from Paul. So this is, this goes more in detail and explains that actually Paul in this case lay hands on them for them to receive. Now, that is generally, you know, the one of the practices made. You know, you lay hands on the people and they will receive. And this is a contact point, is a place in which there is a transference of the anointing from one person to another. That is true not just for baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. It's also true for healing. It's also true for many other things. The Bible talks about, you know, laying on of hands for different purposes. And that was done in the Old Testament. And that is done in the New Testament as well. The environment, the purposes, the things are different. But there's always a transference that takes place. You know, in the Old Testament, for example, the sinner put the hand on the goat to transfer the sins on the God who was going to be slaughtered for him or sent into the desert or whatever. Okay, so there is a component there has to do with transference of spirit that also is as a factor there that actually, you know, the faith of one person is imparted to the other. So there is a new thing that we can learn from this story. Okay? That the baptism of the Holy Spirit is often received by the laying on of hands. So, one thing I wanted to stress, and with this, looks like we have got all our time off, you know, is that we should not confuse the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues. There are two different things. You see, you receive the Holy Spirit and you speak in tongues. It's not the other way around. Okay? It's not that you speak in tongues when you received, when you know you have to speak in tongues so that you receive the Holy Spirit. It's when you receive the Holy Spirit, the anointing is in you that enables you to speak in tongues. You receive the Holy Spirit by faith. And then by faith, you use the gifts of the Holy Spirit to speak in tongues. Is that clear? See, so that helps us to understand what is going to happen when we are going to receive the Holy Spirit. See, that is, you see, it's not the Holy Spirit that speaks in tongues. Are you getting that? It's you. You are speaking in tongues. See, read in, you know, Acts 2:4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. See, the Holy Spirit gives you the anointing, gives you the what you have to say, but you have to say something. It's not the Holy Spirit making you say anything. Praise the Lord. So, if you haven't got it, you haven't got the gift of the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues, if you have not experienced it, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this is the time to get it. Would you agree with me? But you know, number one, you have to want it. If you don't want it, I'm not going to pray for you. If you want it, and really want it, I'm going to pray for you, and you're going to get it. Simple as that. But to... And you don't have to wait. I mean, you can go home now and says, the way I did it on my Chesterfield, you know, sit down there, says, thank you, Lord, there is, and you, yeah, so I don't need to pray for you. And I prefer it that way. You know, but if you, you know, if you need a little bit of help, I don't mind helping. Okay? And, you know, it happens many times. I mean, I, you know, and the only thing you have to do is to want it. Just start praying for it. Start wanting it badly. And God is going to do the rest. He's going to set up the things the way they're going to have to set up. And you're going to receive and you're going to be blessed because this is a promise from God to bless you. And with this, you're finished. We have more scriptures to read, so I'm going to read new more scripture because there are things that need to be overcome to be able to get. There are entrances to us to receive the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about those. You know, there are a number of entrances. And hopefully, you know, we can go through those quickly so that we have the time to pray for people that they want to be prayed for. And with that, we close for today. Get anything? All right. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, we just praise you and thank you. Thank you that is the anointing that breaks the yoke. It is the Holy Spirit, Lord, that enables us to overcome. The Holy Spirit works in us to guide us into all truth, to power and to freedom, to healing and to joy and to all the things that you have given us, Lord. So right now, in Jesus' name, we just thank you and praise you for what you've done even this morning. And we, Lord, go our way, Lord, preparing ourselves to receive more from you, because no matter what we have today, there is more in store. And we want everything we can have, because we know that this is your desire. In Jesus' name, amen.